This is the PBT Podcast, the most comprehensive and entertaining 30 minutes on the NBA anywhere. From insights to interviews, we've got you covered. Here are your hosts, Pro Basketball Talk's Kurt Helin and Eitan Shander.
Welcome you back into the PBT Podcast alongside Kurt Helin of ProBasketballTalk.NBCSports.com, Eitan Shander, and of course the topics that everybody's been throwing out with the NBA first round and the Pacers struggle, the Heat moving on, all that put on hold, Dr. Jack Ramsey passing away, all of this put on hold over the weekend because of Donald Sterling, the ignoramus, the bigot, the lowlife that he is, just continuing to do what he's done. And the latest, of course, Kurt, the TMZ audio that's come out, the reaction from everybody, from Magic Johnson to the public, sponsors that have pulled away from the Clippers. This has been the big story, and for rightfully so.
Yeah, it's been a huge story. I think the amazing thing is that it caught on, and I get into this a little bit with Dave Zirin from The Nation. He's the sports editor of The Nation magazine, and he'll be on later in the podcast. But it's amazing that this didn't catch on before, when there were frankly more actionable items than a surreptitiously taped conversation between him and his girlfriend. But there's nothing in there that he says that is frankly any worse than anything he's said publicly or been on, you know, been in lawsuits before. This is nothing that shocking, but it has captured everybody's imagination, has captured the public this time. And I think, A, it's a good thing because it's going to force some changes, including possibly in his ownership.
Yeah, I think there are two things going on right now. And ultimately, if you're a ends as far as, you know, means, forget about the ends, just get to the end. What is the phrase that I'm looking for?
Does the ends justify the
means?
Correct,
that's right. It's amazing here that if you get stuck on something, it could just get you over and over. If you're an ends justify the means guy, then I think two things are happening, but ultimately you're getting what everybody wants, which is Donald Sterling eventually out of the league, and we can get to that in a minute. But first, what's happening is, on a bigger platform, especially now in social media where an audio clip just is so salacious, when this drops, it completely creates more awareness than I think, unfortunately, the lawsuits and what you said, more actionable stuff in the past. But at the same time, people who have been enabling Sterling, like owners, like his wife, like Commissioner Stern, like fans, like people who go to play for him knowing what he's about, I think now's an opportunity where they can look around and say, hey, hold, you know what? Maybe we can jump ship. Maybe we can get off this thing.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think it does shake that up a little bit. And it's a warning to other owners that, you know, you've got to, well, I don't know. Hopefully they're not like, you know, you'd like to think this, but I think that it's going to be interesting to see how other owners handle this, because I'm sure there's a few of them out there with some morally, you know, repugnant things going on in their lives that they.
Mikhail Prokhorov doesn't want his recordings out, I would guess, right?
The guy's an oligarch. I can't imagine that he has exactly got a clean slate.
Right.
Just how the Russian economy works, and we can go through a list of others. There's some real challenges out there, you know. But this is just one of those things where I'm glad it came out, in the sense that something that should have happened long ago seems to be happening now in terms of awareness of Donald Sterling, who I think, because I'm based in LA, I had more of a sense of, not only because he's an owner here and I see him at Clipper games and stuff, not talk to him, but I mean, see him at the games, but because this is where he owns all his property. This is where his financial base is. So the lawsuits and a lot of what happened got a lot more play out here. This was, you know, a major landlord in the city getting sued for, you know, racial discrimination in housing.
Right.
It obviously got a lot of media play and a lot of attention out here, where that wouldn't have caught on in the rest of the nation necessarily. But I think people have come to understand. I was stunned, by the way. I mean, you'd think everybody would know this. I was stunned at how many players didn't seem to have a grasp of this, especially younger players. Just really no idea. And as he slid out of his role with the Clippers a little, and been less hands-on with things, I think a lot of them had no idea.
Yeah, and I don't know how much they wanted to know.
Well, I think, yeah, exactly.
Right, because
Doc Rivers was kind of like, I probably should have known. I'm like, there's just no way to me that Doc Rivers didn't know This isn't some great secret.
That's what I mean. And, here's the thing. Being on the East Coast and growing up on the East Coast, and maybe it's a coastal thing because, that's where a lot of the media is and us both being in that. But I think that the lawsuit got a lot more credit, got a lot more play than maybe you're thinking of it just locally. And, I've talked to some people that I work with at NBC Sports Radio that thought, hey, it wasn't as big. But I remember there being outrage, at least for a little bit, but not clearly with social media and guys like LeBron willing to step out, who might as well be the commissioner right now. And that's a whole nother topic of conversation. But, you mentioned something about the actions, and this is where I kind of go from, I understand people are bigoted, and I understand that way of thinking still unfortunately exists, but the housing things and the allegations and the settlement, that's real action right there. That's taking your hate and turning and manifesting that into action. And I wonder if these tapes didn't come out, were we saying that was okay up until Saturday?
Unfortunately, I think it kind of was. As much as some people had screamed about this, it had kind of faded from view.
Fast.
I think even within the Clippers organization, it faded. Because he'd been pushed out of a role in a lot of ways. I shouldn't say pushed out because he's the owner and he could kind of come in and do what he wanted. But he'd stepped back. He wasn't active day to day. His son-in-law really kind of runs the thing. His wife has some involvement, which is a whole nother issue. But he wasn't hands-on. And a lot of the really egregious stuff happened, I think, more when he was hands-on. Now that he's not, it's I don't want to say less happens or nothing happens. But he came in after a win the other year, last year, to high-five and kind of buddy up to the players. And literally, like, a third of them were like, who is this guy?
See, which is amazing because it's like, now you need to know your owner. And you should have. And I'm curious, being out there and in L.A., this has been a topic that's been thrown around a lot these past couple of days, is the ultimate culpability, and it shouldn't be much, because let's be honest, what Donald Sterling said and who Donald Sterling is not anything that Doc Rivers or CP3 should burden. But I wonder, and if it's been discussed out there as far as, well, how much should they have known? And now looking back, should Chris Paul be able to be a free agent when he just signed an extension and knowing what Donald Sterling is? I don't think so.
No, I think that topic has come up out here, that especially the more people like Chris who are smart guys and Doc, look, if you're a second year guy, you take the deal and you don't, you take the money, you're trying to make it in the league. When you're a guy with options who's leveraged those options like Chris Paul did with the Clippers to get what he wanted on this team, he knew. And so it's, they just chose not to know or chose to kind of willfully ignore it until it kind of blew up in their face. I think a lot of people within this organization genuinely believed this. It's not that they thought he was a good person. It's just that because he'd stepped back from doing things and wasn't as involved, the chances of him really embarrassing the organization had gone way down. He wasn't, in the locker room like he used to be. He wasn't involved hands-on in player contract negotiations like he had been. So some of the stuff that had just been painful was part of the past. And by the way, who gets some credit for that is Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy was the person who really made this organization start to grow up and put on big boy pants. For all his flaws, he started making them a lot more professional.
Interesting. So to look at him as far as somebody that played, that's a good point. Kurt Heel and Eitan Shander, it's the PBT podcast. And looking forward, the announcement's going to come, this, of course, being recorded before Adam Silver speaks. So what do you I would think that it's going to be an indefinite suspension. The fine, I'd love to see that money that they fine Sterling, if it's $1 million, if it's two, whatever the max is, and go immediately back into building, affordable low-income housing or something, something to immediately go back into the act of evil that he was responsible for in 06.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And the money does, by the way, the fine money does go to NBA charities and it's divided up. But anyway, I think that's true of pretty much every professional sports league. It's going to be interesting. I think you're right. Right now, what he can do is he can't force the sale. He can indefinitely suspend, and he can fine. It depends on who's reading the contract. I've heard a million, there's the report on ESPN that it was 2.5. This is lawyers arguing over the minutia of the bylaws, you know, at this point, like how much leverage and what he can do. And the part that's going to be a nightmare about this, he'll fight it.
Right.
Donald Sterling is he doesn't sell what he owns. When he buys, and I don't just mean the Clippers, which he's owned since 81. When he buys a property, he keeps it and manages it and rents it out. He's not a flipper.
Only
he
to white people.
Very little. And so he's not going to give up the Clippers, and he's very litigious.
You're right. And he'll sue till he's dead.
So he's not going to give this up. He's not going to go quietly. He's not just going to go, you know, for the betterment of the sport and the city and the fans of the Clippers, I'll just step. That is not who he is. So I expect the fight to come.
It's interesting now what happens moving forward, too, because players can't boycott. And I know you're going to get into this in a minute or so with Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation. Kurt had a chance to sit with Dave and talk a little bit more at length about Donald Sterling and the reaction here. But I did want to get to Michael Thompson, of course, Lakers, you know, two-time yes. NBA champ and now Lakers Radio Network. And, of course, father of Klay Thompson. And I had a chance to speak with him earlier in the week, or I guess over the weekend, I should say. My days are all mixed up. I had a chance to speak with Michael.
We're all there, buddy.
It's Sunday night. And I asked him, you know, how difficult it is for him to go to game five, knowing that you would probably boycott if his son weren't playing.
I'm going to go Tuesday because I've got skin in the game. I've got blood in the game. I said, my son is playing for the Warriors, so I've got to go and support him. But if I had no ties to this game, no, I wouldn't be there. That would be my own personal protest. I would never go to another Clipper game as long as Donald Sterling was the owner. That would be my stance. Magic Johnson said he won't either, and I think that's the attitude a lot of people should have.
The first thing that would be more difficult than anything is knowing that you yourself just can't physically be at that game if you're Michael Thompson, yet you have to be at that game because your son's playing.
Yeah, it's a hard spot for a father where you I think you have to be there for your son as much as you find it being at the Clipper game repugnant. I think it's going to be interesting. There's talk now of the fans for the Clipper game showing up wearing all black. We'll see if that catches fire and they do it rather than wearing team logos and stuff. I think that would be awesome if the fans can pull it off a blackout that doesn't come from the corporate sponsor. You know, whoever is buying the corporate sponsored shirts that everybody's supposed to wear courtside. By the way, which nobody in LA does anyway. I mean, that works great in a lot of cities. And in Los Angeles, they're like, look, do you know how much I paid for this shirt? I am not covering it up.
And you're talking about the – right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, it's going to be – it's the fans will be there for the – and I think they're really going to show up for the players. There's a real bond with Blake and with those guys. But it's going to be interesting to see how they react, and frankly, how the Clippers, I mean, they were terrible last game. They were clearly not mentally focused, and they don't have the margin for error in the series. I mean, they're the better team. I think if they played this series without this situation, they would have won it. I don't know if they're mentally ready for another game yet.
Which is a shame, because I think if they got past the Warriors, which we all expected, minus Bogut, this was open for them to make a run right now, and if this thing hangs over, they fall, they lose, and it's easy to point to this. I think a lot more people
would be this, and it would be the ultimate Donald Sterling thing to find a way to screw up his team when it's good.
Isn't that amazing, right there? All right, from there to Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation. Kurt had a chance to speak with Dave. Here's the interview.
Now joining us on the PBT podcast, we're really fortunate to have Dave Zirin, who is the sports editor of The Nation. And he's actually got a great new book out called Brazil's Dance with the Devil that looks about how Brazil is doing with the World Cup and Olympics and how they got it and a lot of the questions that go into that. But today we're going to be talking about something far more fun and close to home. Dave, thanks for joining us to talk about Donald Sterling.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
First, you tweeted something this morning that I think I've heard from a few people around the league and I think is spot on, which is we can't absolve David Stern in this. I mean, he kind of got this when he left. He kind of, you know, it was like a chariot come down and, you know, carried him up to heaven. He was almost anointed. But he had some serious questions and flaws and issues during his reign. And one of them was that he never dealt with Donald Sterling.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, he and Donald Sterling, their tenures are almost year to year the same. 30-year tenures for both people. Donald Sterling is owner of the Clips. first in San Diego and David Stern as NBA commissioner. And both of them have other things in common as well. They both have benefited profoundly from the absolute happenstance, kismet, and luck that they happen to be in charge when people like Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, now Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, were the people who made the league hum and made the league run. Obviously, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. I mean, it has been an incredible era for players. And so Donald Sterling, a person who bought the club, bought the Clips for $13 million, only $3 million down, $10 million on layaway, now owns a club that's worth upwards of, what, $800 million to $1 billion. And it really is kind of maddening that the questions aren't about David Stern, aren't about the fact that the idea of Donald Sterling being a racist should only be news to people who either don't care about the NBA or, you know, have been living on a space station and only been watching the NBA network for the last several years.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, and a surprising number of players that I have heard from, this was kind of news, or that they had some vague idea, they'd heard stuff, but the idea that the, you know, the federal discrimination of housing lawsuit where he had to pay just shy of $3 million in penalties, which was and is the record, was news to everybody. Nobody, I mean, it was surprising how many people didn't know this or know about his long and lengthy history.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure some are being sincere, and I'm sure some are not being sincere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I just find it very, very hard to believe, given how intelligent and given how connected that Doc Rivers is, yes, for example, that he said, and I believe this is almost an exact quote, he said he didn't know about Sterling's past, and then he said, quote, "I probably should have," end quote. It just strains credulity, given everything we know about Doc Rivers, that he didn't do due diligence before taking this job. I think for Doc Rivers, the idea of coaching a Clippers team that clearly has the talent to be an NBA championship contender and to get the hell out of Boston in its rebuilding process was a motivation that had him overlook Donald Sterling's very recent past. And other players, it's who knows. I mean, I don't doubt, you know, a lot of professional athletes, you know, and I know, just to make it to the professional level, you have to live with a degree of tunnel vision, a degree of focus, a degree of shutting everything out. So that means reading a 5,000-word article, a long-read article in ESPN, the magazine, about Donald Sterling's real estate practices from 2009. Well, maybe that's not what Blake Griffin was doing 5 years ago when he was a high school student. You know, that's not too surprising. But at the same time, you know, it's like people have to be, people have now, you know, there's no excuse at this point, basically. And it's hard to imagine why a player wouldn't do what John Carlos, the 1968 Olympian, suggested to me on the phone yesterday, which is as soon as the season ends, you know, in mass, you walk into that GM's office and you demand to be traded.
That's going to be interesting this summer, because I don't know that these Clippers, I think they're so committed in some ways to winning. I think that they had a real bond as a team. It was a close locker room, that this is tearing at them. And not only, I mean, obviously on the court, but in how they feel they should deal with it off the court. Doc is probably in a better position to walk than a lot of these players. But yeah, I mean, it's not the worst idea if they really want out to try to put leverage on the league that way.
Well, Doc has the ultimate leverage because he can quit.
Yeah.
And he even hinted the other day that he would quit. And what must that do to a locker room and to a locker room atmosphere? I mean, you know what I know. You know, Steph Curry needs 0.5 inch of daylight to get that three-pointer off. And the Clippers had done an amazing job of smothering Curry through the first three games. And they were a step off yesterday, and they lost. It's really that simple. Yeah. And you can't imagine that this team is feeling good right now, because this is something that I heard. I'm sure this is something you've heard too, Kurt. All these guys' phones and pagers, if people still have pagers. But, like, I mean, it's been blowing up. It's been absolutely blowing up. Friends, family, what are you going to do about this? I mean, one of those moments where that cliche about a locker room distraction really is an actual distraction.
Very much so. I mean, to the point, look, this is something the president has brought up in a Malaysian press conference. It's gotten that big.
Yeah.
And by the time it's doing that, it's, you know, like you said, they're getting calls from relatives and they're angry, and the relatives and friends and family are angry, and they're like, it becomes the what can you do? And there's not, you know, I don't think that they feel right now they have a lot of leverage, but that'll start to change over the summer, as will, you know, the Clippers' ability to – are you going to send a free agent there right now? I mean, we'll see what the league ends up doing. And I think that that's the other part of the problem here. That Adam Silver finds himself in a difficult spot because I don't think he has as much leverage as a lot of fans think, or as much power under a very owner-friendly NBA constitution to do what he'd like to do, or at least says he'd like to do.
Well, you should correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, because you might know differently than me, but from my knowledge, the NBA Constitution is effectively whatever the owners want it to be.
Yep.
And I mean, it's not like this kind of hard and fast principled document, but it basically is something that gives power to the owners. And if the owners decide as a group that they want Sterling out of their club and they want to compel him to sell, and now they can point to things where I believe as of now, as we're doing this interview, Kurt, I think it's five corporations have pulled their sponsorship from Clippers games.
Yes.
State Farm, CarMax, others.
Kia,
Color of Change,
Virgin,
which is a very effective organization at doing this kind of work, is doing a full-scale corporate campaign to get people to pull their sponsorship. So, I mean, him being bad for business could be the death knell for Donald Sterling. My big concern is that he's going to skate out of it by passing ownership to his estranged wife, Rochelle, the woman who was at the game in Oakland dressed in all black, who was interviewed by Lisa Salters, and who's racist. And if I am not racist, you look at the housing discrimination suit against Sterling, you see that Rochelle Sterling is up to her waist in this thing. So the idea that she's somehow a clean alternative to Donald Sterling is laughable, but you wonder if the NBA and the Sterlings, as a way to avoid excessive litigation, will try to use this as an escape hatch.
Yeah, and exactly. And we're talking about myself and Dan Feldman from PBT, that between us, that's the league trying to kick the can down the road, but it's kicking it 3 feet. It's not, like you said, she has got a long history, including, by the way, saying last night to some cameras that her husband's not a racist and like having dinner with him. So they have an odd, strained relationship that I'm glad I'm not a part of. But whatever's going on with them, that doesn't really solve the problem. They have a son-in-law who's probably the most proficient, and he's kind of runs a lot of the day-to-day stuff for the team right now. But he's an accountant by trade. He's probably the best guy, but I don't know. I don't know that that's where it goes. And I'm curious to see. This is a tough spot for Adam Silver because I think you're right. I think what they're going to do is suspend him and fine him. And while they do that, try to find a way to force him to sell. But they're going to have to change the bylaws. And it sounds to me like the owners are starting to come around on board. I think if the ultimate apolitical guy, Michael Jordan, comes out and says, we need to do something, it's a sign.
And I'll tell you something else. Right before we started going on the phone, I saw a very strong tweet saying that Sterling should be forced out of the ownership ranks by Mitch Richmond.
Yes.
Now, Mitch Richmond was just elected into the NBA Hall of Fame. The Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame. And what happens if Mitch Richmond uses his speech at the Hall of Fame to condemn the NBA for coddling and shielding Donald Sterling? In other words, this is the public relations problem that will never go away.
Yeah.
As long as Donald Sterling is associated with the NBA. And any player, it's such an amazing thing. It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Any player that wants to take a shot at the league, wants to throw a body blow at the league, that's angry at the league, can use the Sterling card from now on, and the league would be way too cowed to do anything about it. Like, I think the Clippers yesterday, not that I'm criticizing what they did, because I don't think that should be my job to criticize what they did in terms of a political action. But I think if they had gone out on the court and walked off and basically dared the NBA to fine them, they would not have dared.
Yeah.
And the NBA wouldn't have done it. It's the ultimate get out of jail free card. You think about players like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who were run out of the league, or Craig Hodges, who were run out of the league for really doing mild political statements. And if you think about if the entire team had walked off, they wouldn't have even gotten fined. I mean, it really is an amazing sort of position of power that players have right now on this issue. It's another reason that Silver wants to get it off the table.
Exactly. This is a league that fines you $25,000 for doing the Sam Cassell big balls dance. And I think that, I don't know that that offends anybody except like four people in Minnesota. Like, I don't know who's offended by that, but whoever they are, they seem to have leverage. And now this is
other than the unsullied warriors from Game of Thrones, I don't know who that offends.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
No, you can't. You can't do enough Game of Thrones references on PBT for my taste.
So go ahead. I took a chance, Kurt, that you would even know what I was talking about. So I'm glad.
I'm still a tad behind, but I'm almost there. I'm almost caught up. This whole, you know, during the season, I fall behind on all my limited television watching it as it is. So trying to catch up on these things. How do you see this resolving itself? I mean, do you think that ultimately the league tries to force a sale?
Yeah, I think absolutely. That's what the league is going to try to do. I think there's definitely going to be an effort to suspend Donald Sterling for the remainder of the playoffs. There is going to be an effort to quarantine this, to make this just an issue about Donald Sterling, and there's going to be a public declaration by the league that they're going to try to compel him to sell the team or pass ownership on to his wife, son-in-law, and get it out of his hands and hope that that does it. One thing the league is not going to do, which is a damn shame, because this was one of the demands that Kevin Johnson made as the union representative at the press conference over the weekend, is they're not going to account for the fact that the league hasn't done anything for lo the many years.
Yeah.
And I was very happy that KJ raised that. And I would also be very, very surprised if that's part of what the NBA does. I was also very happy that J.A. Adonde asked that question in the press conference with Adam Silver. But if I don't know if you heard, Kurt, but his answer was totally Mark McGwire. He said, I'm not here to talk about the past.
Yeah.
And the damn shame of it is that Adam Silver can get away with that. David Stern would not have been able to get away with that, which is why I think some of this shine, some of this heat, to go back to what we started talking about, should be on David Stern.
Yeah, and it's going to be also, I think, the other interesting thing with how the owners deal with this is that both in the NBA and around other professional sports, look, I don't want to say Sterling isn't a bad person because I know people who know him, and I don't, you know, there are people I know with him who only do charity work and can't stand working with his connections. That said, he's far from the only owner with some morally questionable situations in the NBA, and I don't, you know, those owners are afraid that spotlight could turn on them someday, and I'm curious how they're going to handle this.
No, that's a great question. I mean, and it's all about what the public's appetite for outrage is. I mean, I'm convinced, for example, that, you know, fracking for natural gas is absolutely just destroying the planet for my kids and my grandkids. This is how Aubrey McClendon, the co-owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder, has made his billions. I mean, he is a fracker. Their arena is named after his fracking organization, Chesapeake Gas or whatever it's called. What happens if there's outrage about that? I mean, the NBA ownership does not want to see, really what amounts to, and this is what makes Donald Sterling's imbroglio so dangerous, a referendum on their business practices. Because if this becomes, not, and it already is becoming this, if this becomes less about Donald Sterling's taped message and also about his practices as a slumlord, well, that really opens up some dangerous territories for other NBA owners, because they can say, well, I was never caught on tape saying anything, but, you know, the kind of business practices of Aubrey McClendon, of others I could name,
Dan Gilbert.
You could put that up against Donald Sterling any day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what the most, and I've talked about with this with a few friends, it's like one of the most annoying parts of this whole thing is, you know, we've spent 15 minutes talking about it and we've covered it extensively at Pro Basketball Talk over the last few days, when I'd rather be talking about your Wizards, when I'd rather be talking about the fun, good parts of the NBA and teams that are doing well. And you're a long-suffering Wizards fan that's got to be loving this.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too. And it's interesting how that works, like the sort of compartmentalization of our brains, because yeah. I watched that Wizards game on Sunday, like on the edge of my seat when Ariza dunked the ball at the end, which sealed the victory. I was just like losing it. And then, of course, the Clippers Dubs game comes on. And I got to be honest with you, like, it was just really hard to watch.
Yeah.
I just like didn't want to watch it. It's just like, this sucks. I don't want to see this. You know, the Clippers look like they don't want to be there. It just doesn't even seem right that the game is happening. And it just, you know, it just turned me off. And you don't want to feel that way. At least I don't want to feel that way about the NBA playoffs, because I really do believe that on our oversaturated sports calendar, this is the best time of year. This is the most entertaining, most interesting spectacle that American sports has to offer is the NBA playoffs. And Donald Sterling is driving a stake into it. And that's what makes him expendable, I think, in the eyes of other NBA owners right now.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, Jay Adondi, who we mentioned earlier, put it really well. It was the least basketball game I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's the sort of thing, too. It's like the whole point of having these kinds of seven-game series is because you think the cream will rise to the top. And watching those teams, because everybody's playing their hardest in the playoffs, when, let's be honest, they don't always during the regular season. And in that game, the Clippers were clearly a step off for understandable reasons. But it's just like for everybody there, it's like, wow, if the Clippers win, that means more money in the pocket of this bastard. And he gets to keep on. And it's a damn shame. But, you know, I'm sorry that it does take attention away from what the Wizards are doing, because it's been ugly here for a long time. And this season we had more road wins. I said we. That just shows you where I am. But the team had more road wins than they'd had in John Wall's first three seasons combined. I mean, something special is happening here. And I want, you know, it's one of those things where you want the country to notice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Wall's grown up. And I think a lot of people are starting to see this through the playoffs. And Beal, to a degree, too, that, you know, this isn't the guy from a couple years ago who was still trying to figure out his way in the league. He's matured into an All-NBA caliber point guard.
Exactly, and someone I'd rather have than Kyrie Irving, which seems like sacrilege that no one would have said 6 months ago. But now to me it's like a no-brainer that, yeah, you want John Wall and that ceiling, which I think he's still yet to reach.
Exactly. Look, people, if you're not following Dave here on at Edge of Sports on Twitter, you're missing out. One of the great Twitter follows out there. Thanks for the time, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again soon and talk about something way more fun.
My privilege, Kurt. Thank you.